I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
On the first day, the House of Morningstar fell. On the third, the newly crowned King of Hell, Caliban, led the Infernal Armies on a crusade to claim the Earth as the 10th Circle. He failed. On the fourth day, the pagans beat back Caliban and his armies. The Earth was theirs. On the seventh day, Hell was emptied by an army of Celestials. But what about Sabrina Morningstar?
I don't know if I like that story.
I think I love it because we are talking Netflix's Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Season 3, Episode 8, the season finale, Chapter 28, Sabrina is Legend. Do you understand? Sabrina is Legend. And by we, I mean us three. The party of two, as you see on the table, and Ryan Morningstar in the booth.
Coming into you live from AfterBuzz TV Studios in Los Angeles, California.
Which is like hell sometimes. It is like hell. And of course, the queen of hell is amongst us, Veronica V.
Hello. I am here.
Are you, though? Or are you here and there at the same time?
You know what? I could be anywhere.
That's how it works. But I, however, am nowhere, as I am the Dark Lord Tehran himself, as we host and panel talking Netflix's Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Season 3, Episode 8, Chapter 28, Season Finale, Sabrina is Legend. We will be breaking down the episode as thus. Future you, Sabrina saves herself, because that's the only way Sabrina can be saved. The zombies are alive and well. The Regalia, as everyone else is dead. The Regalia protectors, of course. Ambrose, his brilliance lasts for decades. The Time Egg, Blackwood, is baddie. Baddie Bat is also. Sabrina saves the yesterday. And if you watch the episode, you know exactly what I mean. Goes back in time. Hilda lives. Lullaby, virgin's blood. Oh my, Robin the traitor. Yet one of my faves right now. Hobgoblin Robin. Pesta and her pestilence. Pagans versus the world. Sabrina Soup's crazy idea. Wrap up. And we need to wrap up as we explain how the wrap up in the story begins. But it's only the beginning of the end as we get the paradox with Father Blackwood, who is our priest. Special segment, Dark Design. We break down the mythological, literal, and Easter eggs in the episode for all of you and all of us. And we may even have some season 4 predictions, or at least once.
Because
that is how it was. I definitely do. I love this show. Veronica, what were your overall thoughts of this episode?
Oh,
Veronica,
boy.
Please remember the Dark Lord is watching.
I will remember. It's tough.
Sabrina Morningstar, of course.
It is tough. I think this episode had a lot of good moments. It definitely gave me a lot of reactions, a lot of, oh, wow, that was really cool. Or like, you go, Hilda, but also Sabrina, why are you doing that? So it gave me a lot of reactions. It had good moments. It's just hard. I know last episode I was saying was kind of a mess because I don't know how they're going to wrap it up. I think they wrapped it up in a way that audiences would be happy, but I just felt it was kind of too easy. I think this season just had so much going on that it is kind of hard to wrap like 3 separate storylines in 1 hour episode. And I think some things kind of got cut and were not explained as much. And
such as?
Well, just obviously a lot of the stuff that we're going to get into kind of in the beginning when we have that flash forward, you know, just how certain people are alive and such like that, or, you know, just kind of all of the stuff with time. But it had its good moments. I think this was just a very strong season that had a lot going on that they just needed more time to really bring it together.
Interesting. You know, Veronica, I love and appreciate your opinion. You're wrong. This episode was amazing. I was a bit skeptical. How are they going to wrap this up? Are they going to use the time egg, which they did? They did do the go back in time thing, yet they wrapped it up in such a way that as it was something that has been done, it was done so uniquely, so fabulously. I enjoyed every minute of this episode. It was strong. It was action-packed. It was violent. It was fun. It was heartwarming. It was heartfelt. I had tears. I had laughs. I had joy. It showed me everything and made me anticipate season four even more, much more so than my anticipation for season three, which was at an all-time high. Going into the Nick, oh, I need to save my boyfriend, this was none of that. I enjoyed this episode immensely, getting to see Sabrina save herself, how they played it, Ambrose staying. I was in there shouting, yelling, predicting as it was going along, and yet still didn't see a lot of things coming as I knew what was going to happen. The way they played it out was fabulous. I give a lot of props and respects to the writers and the visionaries of this show. Honestly, highly anticipated season four, because now I want to know. Don't take this as a season finale. Take this as a season, mid-season finale going into season four, the same way that season one and season two were actually part of the same year, basically the same season. Season three and season four are basically part of the same storyline. So we will get another, hopefully, 8, hopefully 10 episodes of what happens in result of all the actions of what just happened. That's how you have to think of it. This is a mid-season cliffhanger.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely
see
it.
And it's amazing, because I cannot wait till season four. I hate how we have to wait. That's the problem with binge. Binge makes me think that I should get all the seasons all the time, all at the same time.
Or quicker.
That is how I feel. I was very impressed, and I'd love to hear what all of you thought as well. I love Sabrina, and I love watching how it played out, especially with the problem of knowing that it was happening as it was happening. Future you, Sabrina saves herself. So we get this moment where we start off, Sabrina's basically in the block next to Lilith and Lucifer, and Sabrina herself comes and says, open your eyes, you can do it, you've done it before. So we've entered the time loop.
Yep. And I mean, talk about unexpected. I didn't see it coming. I was not sure how they were going to free Sabrina and how we were going to go into the next phase of this story, basically going off of the last episode. And it was definitely an interesting surprise. But once again, I was curious and craving to figure out, okay, how is this happening? Where is this going to go next?
I saw the time loop. I predicted a time loop, and yet the way they played the time loop I thought was fabulous. Sabrina comes, speaks to herself. They speak of paradox. They blatantly use lines which voices the concerns. Paradox. Time loop. Even reference back to the future, which they've done throughout the season, is reference basically pop culture. But they reference it specifically in last episode when on our after show, I referenced Back to the Future. That is our foundation of time travel in the simplest form, the DeLorean. That is how it works. And so Sabrina goes back in time, starts out in the modern day, which is our future, decades from now, and then goes back to the moment right before it all goes downhill. So as she goes on the Unholy Regalia quest again, Sabrina, future Sabrina, now Sabrina, especially since the ninth degree of hell exists in its own time, it has its own time. So that explains how there's decades and Sabrina hasn't changed or anything. To her, it feels like minutes and eternity at the same time. We saw that with Nicholas. I thought the time loop was done fascinatingly well. We also get the concept of the future, present tense, but the future Greendale.
Yeah. I honestly thought if they had told me, oh, it hasn't necessarily been decades, it's been, you know, like a month or something, I would have believed that too, because the impression I got from the Green Man was once he has essentially blossomed, he kills all flesh. And so I would have understood if it was a decay that kind of really just killed everyone, and like they said, the flesh is all gone, and that's kind of what we saw. So if it had been a month, I would have also understood that. But they said decades, which kind of leads me to believe, you know, kind of in this time again, and it makes me curious how some people survived.
Ambrose.
Yeah, how did Ambrose survive?
Blackwood made a deal, so Blackwood was spared. But Ambrose is basically what you're referencing.
Yes. And also, we saw those two zombies.
And I will agree with you this. The two zombies were out of place simply because we didn't see more. There weren't more zombies. Maybe they ended up on the cutting room floor. We saw two attack Sabrina and then the two who delivered blood, but that's about it. We realized that there's this flesh harvest where it's basically like one of those fields a la The Matrix where there's a field of people and they're born bred just to bleed in order to substantiate and sustain the Green Man.
Yeah, it was a very brief explanation of, oh, this is why, you know, they're here. But, yeah, as I'm really in this sense thinking of Ambrose. How did Ambrose survive?
And I'll say this. They didn't differentiate between a couple months and a couple decades well enough. I agree with that. It did seem that much time had not passed. Ambrose looked the same age, which, if he had lost his power source, I don't know how he remained in power.
That's a good point.
So, if he's losing his power source, the concept was that the dance kinetics of the cheerleading coven could only last or sustain so long. So, what did they do? Because we get the Hecate after when mm-hmm. Sabrina comes back. So, they hadn't discovered that yet. I wonder these kind of things. But, once again, it's a show, suspension of disbelief. They don't have time to explain everything or hold our hands through everything. We just have to take it for what it
yeah.
is. But I would have agreed with it being 6 months and feeling like 6 seconds mm-hmm. for Sabrina.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. I understand, you know, some things you kind of have to go with the flow with. And I do that a lot with this show with Sabrina just because of the type of content it is, you know, all of the magic that it dives into. This episode, I think, kind of did a little too much. Just roll with it. Some things, I think, I would have appreciated if they dived a little deeper into. Maybe not even deeper. Just give me just a little bit more.
Well, I would have liked more zombies. And we literally got four. We have the two that attack Sabrina and are killed by the Protectors. And then two who basically drop a bucket of blood onto the Green Man. What were your thoughts on the zombies?
I mean, once again, the zombies, they were interesting, I guess, because they kind of shed light on, oh, this is how the world is now.
Sure.
Because before Sabrina left, it was the same, you know, it was in chaos, but she didn't know that. And this is just kind of, the zombies are there to be like, okay, this is how the world is now. We have skeletons, we have Green Man, and we have zombies.
Yeah, and we do have these zombies, and they play. I would have liked more zombies. They did kind of get around very well and easily, even with the zombies being around. Sabrina did with Ambrose. I understand they go back to the Kinkle Mines, and it's fortified and protected, but I would have liked more zombies, at least zombies trying to get in and then being stopped, something of that nature.
Yeah.
Let's get some. If you're going to give us zombies, give us zombies. Don't just give us a couple and then nothing else, and everything else is gone. But I did like the concept of the Regalia Protectors being controlled by Sabrina and then being stopped and then later saying, we go where the Regalia goes. We mm-hmm. go, and they protected Sabrina in that manner.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. I thought that was a nice little interesting twist. I like how even though at that point the Regalia kind of failed, it showed, oh no, there's more to it.
And I would have thought that the Regalia had more power. I know they used it as a power source to go back in time, but just wearing it should endow the wearer with certain powers. The crown makes you, remember like the artifacts in Harry Potter, if you have the cloak, you're invisible, or,
yeah.
you know, I would have liked that effect with the crown and the coins. And
so you would have liked it if Sabrina had used them
the bowl.
Specifically a little bit more.
Well, just something, if they had played a part, right? So in Harry Potter, you get the, what are those artifacts called in Harry Potter? Do you know?
The cloak, like the cloak
of invisibility. No, but there's a name. Ryan, do you know the name?
Deathly Hallows.
Yeah,
the Deathly Hallows, not part two. Don't do that. So the Deathly Hallows are something that are used specifically, and there's the story behind them and everything. Well, we get an actual story behind all the artifacts of the Regalia, since they are artifacts that are part of our religious, cultural, or mythological stories today, right? So
mm-hmm.
Judas's coins, Herod's crown, and Pontus's bowl. So we get these three things, even though they specifically center around basically one series of events, right? A series of Christianity, basically. Mm-hmm. However, they do have a story to tell. I would have liked the artifacts to have powers that were imbued by the wearer. Something. The crown does this, the bowl does that, and her to have used those before relegating them to be the power source before going in time.
If they gave us more time to explore that, I think that would have been great.
It would have been great. And exploring how Ambrose survived. Ambrose does survive. Of course, we know Ambrose is brilliant, and he is the next up. So if I had to give my top three in magic, it would have to go, of course, besides Dark Phoenix Sabrina and Lucifer, who's a celestial, but it would have to go Edward, Blackwood, Ambrose. These three just have an understanding of magic and studying magic and a concept, an education in magic that goes beyond almost everyone else's.
Yeah. My only theory of Ambrose surviving is because he had the egg, because Prudence had instructed him to go back and get the egg. So he had that in his possession.
Sure.
At the time all this happened. But even that is still so loosely put together.
And they could have, or at least he could have said something like, specifically, I survived this whole time only because of the egg.
Mm-hmm.
The egg, you know, allowed me, or I used it as my source of power. Something. One or two lines could have fixed that. But Ambrose, I was so happy to see Ambrose, because first I thought Ambrose was alive.
Yeah.
And I was like, Ambrose is alive. And then I was like, oh, Ambrose is dead. Everyone's dead. And then Ambrose showed up when Sabrina went back to the carnival to see what was going on. So I love seeing Ambrose come back.
I do, too. And I mean, it's only appropriate because he is the one who's, for the most part, always getting Sabrina out of trouble.
Sure. And the time egg being there, and especially things that are a matter of time. Ryan, can you put the time up on the screen, please? Because everything's a matter of time. And the time egg was an appropriate thing to have that was still in Ambrose's possession. And I liked the flashback to Prudence. That was so...
It hurt.
Heartbreaking a little, yeah.
It hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. I'm not going to lie. I did feel something like a little. I have no feeling. I have no heart. But if I did,
you felt that.
Something. That was.
That got
just,
you.
Just go get that. And Ambrose, clearly Ambrose is very much in love with Prudence. Sheesh. And I mean, and Prudence clearly loves Ambrose, which we're going to talk about at the end.
We're going to get into that.
But the time egg is still in possession, and we use the time egg, and now we have to go into the academy, because that's the sacred ground, in order to cast a spell. And I mentioned, when Sabrina went into the cupboard and grabbed the jar, I was like, where have I seen that jar? And I was like, isn't that Batty Bat from Season 1, Episode 5, Dreams in a Witch House? And of course it was.
It was. And that was a really spot on kind of observation.
Because it was a foreshadow.
It did not occur to me. When I saw that, completely went over my head.
Well, I just saw it because why else show them, and all that?
Yeah.
Why give, if they had not used it, I would have been like, that's annoying. So I'm glad that they used it. And we go back. Blackwood, of course, is in Blackwood throughout the show. Blackwood, the first one we see, is a little crazed. This is the decades in the future.
Yeah.
Has taken over the Academy and of Dark Arts. That is his base, his fortress of solitude. And now we have to get in there. It's important.
So wait, what are you saying? You're saying when we first see Blackwood, he is, you know, severe, heavily aged because time has passed.
He hasn't aged. He's just...
Well, he looks... different.
I didn't feel like he looked different.
I'm confused on what.
So the first time we see Blackwood,
yes.
This is when we're decades in the future before we go back in time. We go to the academy and Blackwood is now, because we have to use that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were referring to when we first saw him this season.
No,
gotcha.
No. So we have this Stone Age and now we have to get Blackwood out of the picture and we use Batty Bat.
It was such a smart move.
Yeah, and it was a smart move on Sabrina to recognize that, to go back, use Batty Bat, and know how Blackwood would be, and use it against him. We've seen her do this. We saw her do this with Lucifer, and now we've seen it with Blackwood.
Sabrina is interesting in that sometimes she's very smart and knows exactly what to do, and then other times she makes very poor decisions where we go, why are you doing that? Which we'll get into later with her Soup's great idea,
yes. But Sabrina then goes back to save yesterday. Sabrina goes, they do the spell, it works, Ambrose has to somehow use the magic and the egg, and they spin the little gauntlet, and boom, next thing you know, with the power of the regalia and everything, we're back at the moment where everything's about to fall apart. So Sabrina shows up, figures out where she is, when she is, and then basically goes and saves everybody's life. Yeah. Except for Dorcas. Dorcas is dead. Like, Dorcas really was... I can't believe they killed off Dorcas. I want to find out why. I want to know if Dorcas got another job. Because I just love Dorcas.
Well, see, here's the thing. I think at this point in the story, it did make sense to kill off a character. But I don't think they were ready to kill off a bigger character.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wasn't. I secretly love the Weird Sisters so much, and then
you don't secretly. You openly love the Weird Sisters, yeah. And they're amazing. I understand.
Dorcas is just. I just love them as a trio, and now I don't like them as much because there's only two of them.
Well, there's technically only one of them. Well, because Agatha's kind of in her own world.
Agatha's still a Weird Sister. Prudence is still alive. I can fix her. So then the concept is Sabrina goes back, takes Zelda is alive. Prudence is alive. Dorcas is dead. Agatha's alive. Who else is still? Does she kind of save and says we need
Fright
to go?
Club.
The Fright Club goes in, gets Roz and Harvey and Robin and Theo out of there. Mm-hmm. So she basically comes in at the perfect time.
Yes,
and she goes in and saves everybody. And when I was like looking at her saving everything, I was thinking to myself, great timing, a little too convenient.
Mm-hmm. That was something that kept going through my head as I was watching this episode, and then I kind of said at the top of our after show was I felt some things were just a little too easy, or as you're saying, too convenient. And I agree with that. I think that everything, once Sabrina kind of got back in the swing of things, it happened just a little too seamlessly.
Well, I liked that it was convenient, actually. I liked how it played out because I did not want anyone. In fact, I'm annoyed Dorcas is dead. So I liked how they played it out because the whole scene with now Zelda goes, we have a new power source, which is Hecate, the 3-in-1. We have Hecate, powerful enough to bring back Hilda, who I thought when there was a moment when Sabrina said she doesn't make it out of the... I mean, she hasn't yet. I was like, Hilda's dead?
I would have... You know what? I thought that that was going to be the case, and had that be the case, I would have been upset, but, you know, I would have been accepted. I would have accepted it.
I couldn't accept Dorcas and Hilda. Yeah. I couldn't.
No, yeah, that's a little too much, but that was a very great scene. Like I said, this episode had a lot of great moments. I loved seeing Zelda just really take charge and, you know, bring back Hilda along, surrounded by her coven.
And the coven actually, you know, when they held hands that extra second when everything looked like it wasn't working, and it worked, I was like, man, that coven really has faith.
Yeah.
Because I would have been like, not working. Let's get out of this clearing.
Well, huh? I feel like that coven always had faith, but I think in this moment, that's kind of all that they think they have. Because for the longest time, they didn't have power. They didn't have an energy source. The pagans were coming for them. So really all they had was each other and, you know, they had to have something to believe in.
And at least now we know what Edward led Zelda to, because the last time we saw Zelda, as soon as she was about to tell everyone, she got slaughtered. So here we have Zelda. And then, of course, the plan comes out. The plan comes out where, hey, this is what we need to do. We need to go and take back everything. And I don't know exactly whose plan it was. Was it Sabrina's? Was it Zelda's? Was it a combination of the two?
What do you mean to take back?
Basically, yeah. It's the pagans versus the world. We go after the pagans. We're on the offensive for the first time.
I think it was a combination of both.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination of both that they know what their next step is to do. Because, you know, for Zelda, it was, okay, my first step is to resurrect Hilda. And then for Sabrina, at the time, she was trying to go on this quest to become Queen of Hell, which I will still kind of back my answer, what I said. I think Sabrina, in that moment, thought she was doing what she was supposed to do. But now she realizes that's not the case, and her mind is back in the right place, and it's both Z and Sabrina going, okay, this is our plan.
Combination of the two, basically, when it comes to combinations, the best combination is, of course, all of us and all of you at home. Thank you so much for watching, listening, sharing, subscribing, liking, spreading the word, sharing the love, commenting below. We enjoy your comments. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5 stars we so greatly deserve. We appreciate each and every one of you for being a part of us. Thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We appreciate it. Now, I also appreciated the offensive. This big attack war, this was Avengers Endgamey. This was everyone versus everyone. Finally, our side is on the offensive. Roz, Harvey,
it was the comeback.
Yeah. Exactly. They go in. Prudence killing Pan and Hilda. Going
Hilda
Cersei.
Was ruthless.
Cersei, like, remember when you called me a weaver? Oh, let me show you my other skin. Crack, crack.
She is ruthless. She has,
when she gets in that mode.
I was gonna say, she has the appearance of I'm sweet and I'm nice, but you know what? Don't cross me. And
she
I
even
loved
does it.
It
sweet. She does it in the most British of ways. Oh, you remember? Would you like a spot of tea? Crack, die.
I did love this sequence. Because I loved their comeback. I loved how they were weak for so long, and now they have this newfound energy and power. And they're like, you want to know what? We're going to take back Greendale. We're going to take back our home. And everyone just went for it. I loved the, you know, we've talked about glamours a lot and how they haven't helped people, but I loved the glamour with Pesta and how that just totally ruined the Green Man. I loved
that's what I'm saying.
Sequence.
Glamour was the huge magical item this entire season. They overused glamour, honestly. We glamoured with Caliban in the stone. We glamoured with Pesta. At some point, someone needs to be able to see through glams. That's just ridiculous. There needs to be a pendant, a charm.
It would have. I think it would have hit just a little bit better if we didn't use glamours as much, and we did the glamour maybe the first or second episode, and then the glamour here was a callback to the beginning of the season, where it's like, oh my gosh, it's so cool.
To me, at this point, I would never trust anyone because yeah. I'm saying everything's a glamour, everything's a glam. So we do get the glamour, we do get. Roz and Harvey, and I liked Harvey going, I'm going to do this by myself. I've watched Clash of Titans. Have you seen Clash of Titans?
I have
by
not.
The way? Okay, so there's two versions. We'll talk about that in the Dark Designer special segment. But what happens is Harvey goes in and uses the mirror, and I'll tell you why that's important. And yet it doesn't work. And of course, who comes to save Harvey is his love of his life. Roz. Oh, wait. The love of his life is Sabrina. But Roz saves his life.
Yeah.
Roz saves his life and is there for him. He's not alone.
I will say, I do think, while I still think that Harvey is unaware of his feelings for Sabrina, I think that this event has definitely made him and Roz closer, at least in this moment.
Sure, they're close.
And I will say, you know, I was impressed with Harvey in this moment because this entire season he's been battling his insecurities and how he feels he's not strong enough or not worthy enough to really help anyone. And I liked that he went for it in this moment.
I think that people don't realize that these are 16-year-old kids and they're cutting off people's heads. That's got to have some type of psychological effect on them.
Yeah.
And also, Theo was kind of pointless.
Yeah, Theo didn't have a moment to shine.
I needed Theo to have a moment because we saw Robin have a moment. Robin came back and played the double traitor card where I was betraying them for you. I brought you the Virgin being Wardwell. Wardwell disguised, of course, glam as Pesta, but we thought it was Wardwell who gets placed and plays it. The Lord is the reason, like the whole nine. And then, of course, Robin betrays his coven again.
Wasn't really Robin, though.
It was Robin because of the speed.
Wasn't it? But it was Sabrina and Glamour.
It was Robin and then Sabrina.
Okay.
It had to be because Robin appeared with speed. So I would be remiss to think that it wasn't Robin. Because of the speed. If they hadn't done the speed thing or if they just, approached. But it was like, did the speed thing that he does. And then they played the glam card for both of them later. So I wonder if Robin and Sabrina switched places.
That could very well have happened. Or, you know, maybe Sabrina just worked her magic and kind of manifested.
Well, we know she was more powerful this time around for whatever reason, which they also didn't explain why she's more powerful now. There should have been some explanation of why she's all of a sudden powered up. But we get Robin showing that Pesta, and now we're like, this is the end of the episode, right? But we look, and it's like, you still have
20 minutes.
You have to, like, yeah. I'm like, what's going on? Well, that's what goes on. Sabrina has a soup's crazy idea. Sabrina goes back further in the time loop and meets with herself right before everything should have transpired and breaks the time loop and starts basically another one, or at least a paradox?
I obviously have a lot of concerns about this. I mean, there's the obvious that Ambrose points out. There's going to be a time paradox.
Sure.
My other concern is I can't really believe that in the next season there will be no interaction between the Spellmans and Hel. I can't believe that, you know, Lilith won't ever show up at Baxter High for whatever reason, or Lucifer won't, you know, come to the Spellmans for whatever reason. That's another one. But also just, yeah, and yeah, yeah.
I can't believe that people didn't show up for free admission, free rides, and free caramel apples. Like, that was, and then Tender Shepherd is that lullaby. I'm going to start using that from Peter Pan, dark design moment. So here we have the wrap up. There's clearly a paradox. There's going to be consequences. I'm glad Sabrina told Ambrose, though. I'm glad Ambrose, well, didn't tell. Ambrose figured it out, and then Sabrina said, I wasn't lying. I'm not the Queen of Hell, but I am, and explains it. But we get this wrap-up of sorts. We get the wrap-up of Zelda and Hilda are both alive. Dr. C is alive, cocooned up instead of killed.
I liked that. Agatha's alive.
Dorcas is still dead. Prudence just blames Ambrose, a la Nick blaming Sabrina.
Mm-hmm. But what was your opinion on that? Do you think that Ambrose made the right decision? Or do you think that Ambrose should have let Prudence kill her father? Because that's what she's blaming him for.
I think that a lot of everything that happened was specifically because Sabrina wanted to save Nicholas. So the only reason Blackwood, we didn't find anything from Blackwood. The only reason Blackwood became useful is because Sabrina utilized Blackwood's body for Nicholas's demons, basically transferring Lucifer into Blackwood. And that was it. We didn't learn anything about Blackwood. We should have killed Blackwood. Blackwood is clearly the ongoing, it's the Joker. So when I watch Batman, I'm like, if the Batman just killed Joker, you know how many lives would be saved? But Batman, of course, in his refusal to kill, just won't kill the Joker, possibly because of a need. So I feel like Sabrina, for some reason, needs to be the hero and so leaves these enemies alive.
Well, it's interesting that you say leaves them alive, because I honestly got the impression that they just forgot about Blackwood.
Yeah,
this episode
seemed like that. And like, they just, Blackwood's gone and no one has said, hey, where's Faustus? We should probably tie up this Faustus situation. Did we do anything about Faustus? Because they forgot that he was still on this quest to kill everyone. I mean, Faustus clearly is vengeful.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole point why Sabrina had to go back in time anyway. Everyone got slaughtered by Faustus, the bigger enemy, by the way. If you actually look overall, Lucifer hasn't been as bad as Faustus.
No, and it's because, I think it's just, again, because Lucifer has a different motivation. Lucifer wants his daughter to reign over hell, whereas Faustus, especially now, wants to get rid of all the Spellmans.
But I did love the scene with Sabrina Morningstar, because now there are two, Sabrina Spellman and Sabrina Morningstar, which we've always spoken about how different they are if they're the same. Now we know they're different people. And Sabrina Morningstar, the one who did have the want to stay,
desire to be queen,
stay in hell and be queen. That scene of, and as the story is laden behind it, and her putting on that regal queen outfit, that was amazing.
It was a very artistic sequence.
So good. And it reminded me of Elizabeth, the movie, which basically has to do with Kate Blanchett, and it was a great movie. It very similar at the end of that first one, where she realizes she is now to be queen, and Lilith says, you will be Morningstar, and when they beg you for mercy, you will have no pity or remorse, basically. And it's like, now I see we're gonna have problems in the next season. Some of the problems is going to be Sabrina, and the other one, Morningstar and Blackwood.
Exactly. You cannot convince me that those two are not going to cross paths
of
in
course,
the next
there
season.
Has to be something that happens. I mean, that's just crazy. We'll never see them again. We've seen every single body of all of them
all the time.
All the time. It's almost as if like hell was just like next door. Let's go to hell today. What are you doing later? Trying to go to hell? It was just very simple to get there. But I did love this episode. I thought it was great. I had fun. I enjoyed it, and it was energetic. Veronica didn't like it as much.
I thought that there were great moments.
Sure.
I think there was just a lot to wrap up. But then again, you know, we just have more to explore But at least, you know, we kind of covered what we need to cover now, and we can move on to next season.
Well, let's explore some more. Let's go to our special segment, The Dark Design. There we go. That's what we're going to be talking about. Let's go through a couple things that happened. First of all, the drop of the word Meshuggahs, a Yiddish word. That was very good. Hecate. Hecate is a goddess in Greek mythology. It's actually the goddess of magic and witchcraft, the goddess of wizardry. If you've ever seen a concept of Hecate, Hecate is often depicted holding two torches or a key. She was the daughter of the Titans Perseus and Asteria and was honored in the household as a protective goddess who brought prosperity. So we got the 3-in-1. Let's see how that plays out, because that is the new, we are now the Church of Hecate, and all the people get to stay, including Marie, who had a juicy kiss with Zelda and was welcome to stay. That invite might mean a little more. Let's see what else. We also had The Clash of the Titans, which you haven't seen.
I have not.
There's two versions of it. So there's a 1981 film and then a remake in 2010, in April of 2010, which was in 3D. But the original film was actually heralded as the originator of this mythological movie genre, because it was this heroic fantasy adventure. And in it, Medusa is fought by Perseus, and he uses the mirror in order to see him as is told by the story. So it was very good to see that nod as well. And we get the song Tender Shepherd, which was actually available on Peter Pan on the soundtrack. So they sing that song, and that, of course, the nod to Elizabeth and the outfit and the way it looked was a nod to Elizabeth, and also a nod to Dracula's Bride. So it was just like a lot of different nods in this one episode of Sabrina, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Everything has consequences, and there are always loose ends.
Foreshadowing!
Let's talk some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
First Lady of Pandemonium, Lady of Shadows, Sabrina Morningstar, Veronica V. What do you think is going to happen season 4?
All right. I think that obviously next season, I think Faustus is going to become the main villain. I know that the last couple of seasons have led us to believe that Lucifer and Lilith are also supposed to be against the Spellmans, but I think there will be a new alliance in their futures when it comes to Faustus Blackwood. And I also hope the twins play more of a role. They kind of got locked in a dollhouse at the beginning of the season, and then they magically reappeared at the end of the season. So I hope we get to see more of them next season.
With no point. They had no real point, but I think what's going to happen is that Sabrina Morningstar and Sabrina Spellman are going to have a huge clash, and Sabrina Morningstar is going to become everything Lucifer wanted and more. Be careful what you wish for. And Sabrina Spellman and Sabrina Morningstar are going to clash, and then they're going to have to team up against the creature that Blackwood released, because that creature is a devourer of time and space and is going to basically create the void, a nothingness realm in which nothing exists as it eats everything alive. And that is what that creature is supposed to represent. And Blackwood is going to go further and further crazy. Prudence is going to save her brother and sister, and hopefully Prudence and Ambrose reunite, but that's just how I hope. Until then, I hope you want to be found. Where do you want to be found? If you want to be found, Veronica V.
Yeah, you can find me, Veronica Valencia, on Twitter and Instagram at @itsme_Veronica_V.
Yeah, you can. And of course, you can find me in hell next to my queen Sabrina and Prudence and the weird sisters who I love so much. Or find me at I Am Tehran all across the board, IamTehran. Also hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz After Shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. Until the next season of Sabrina. Hail Judas, hail Satan, hail Hecate, hail Sabrina, hail... I don't even know who we're thanking anymore. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.